just do the it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be fancy, let's get it done approach. Be yeah. like Louise, not like.
Hi, and welcome to episode 120 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous, and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
And today we thought we would talk about something which is just very timely for both of us, as we've both just released some new paintings and learned some things along the way about selling online. And we thought it'd be just a good conversation to have. We didn't really share strategies with each other, and we haven't really talked with each other about what happened. So we will do that with you listening. Yeah. But first of all, Alice, what have you been doing this week?
So I think I mentioned last week that I had a photo shoot set up for, so we record on Thursdays, that was set up on for Friday morning. And I was a little bit more organized about it this time. I had an idea of what I wanted to get. I'd sort of worked out some of the shots. I'd got a few bits of change of clothing. I was all organized. It was all packed on Thursday evening. Friday morning, the decorators arrived, the electrician arrived, all as I was supposed to be leaving. I got to the studio, I was a bit later leaving than I planned. I got there, I unloaded, and I realised I'd left my bag with all my clothes at home. And my little drawing of all my kind of shot lists. So I was like, I just called Paul up and I just said, bugger, just really annoying. And he was so sweet. I wasn't calling him to ask. He said, well, how big's the bag? I said, it's not that. I just don't have time to go come back home and get it. And he said, well, I could cycle and bring it to you. And I was like, oh,
that's nice.
That's nice. I quite like my husband sometimes. So yeah, he saved the day and we had some fun photos. So that was Friday. Fun. Lovely photos from some of the photographer. I'm not quite sure when I'll use them. Some of them are just really lovely photos, but maybe a little bit arty for what I had in mind. So we'll see. And then I have also been working on, or starting to put together, a new domain. So the Connected Artist Club, it is a separate thing from my painting sales. So we had to have a name for that. So I named the company Soul Rocket, because I was like, you know, you've got to make up a name that doesn't exist. And that was, it's very much what I feel art is, or art should be about. But until now, it's not really been anything that I've used publicly, but we're making that the domain that is, that hosts the membership on. We're using it for email addresses, all of that kind of thing. So we've been doing a little bit of that behind the scenes. So that feels quite fun. I'm not sure whether I should start a whole separate Instagram account. My advice to myself in my head is, don't give yourself an extra thing to do. What do you think?
I agree. I set up one at the beginning which is my company. I set up one for This Painting Life, and my plan was to share other people's art on it, and to, you know, and now I could use it to celebrate my members and things, but I didn't keep up with it. And so now what I do is my Instagram is for both artists, just like your newsletter is for everybody.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is an argument for separating them. It's just whether you can, you can separate them if someone else runs the other one for you.
Oh.
You wouldn't let that happen.
It just feels like a big thing. But I'm the same as you. I think I've saved the the Instagram account, but I'm not sure I can remember what my login is for it. I'm that organized. And the Facebook page. But I think maybe I'll just use it more for hashtags and stories. So I'm planning a little thing to start talking about that, which is fun. And then I'm feeling a little bit more upbeat about the sales from last week, which we're going to talk about in our kind of debrief. So I'll leave that. How's your week been?
Cardboard, tape,
bubble
wrap, L. I noticed in our notes for our main topic, one of your notes pertains to me, which is plan the time and materials for packing. And so it's been a bit of a nightmare. But somebody said to me on Instagram, don't always say things are a nightmare. This is part of the joy of being an artist, is this. And I'm sorry, but I do find it a nightmare. So I'm going to say what's the truth. I agree, it's lovely to send packages out. But the reason it's a nightmare, so what I do is, rather than going, oh, happy, joy, joy, it's not a nightmare, it's a joy. It is a nightmare. But I thought, why is this a nightmare? It's a nightmare because I don't have the right tools, because I don't have the right materials, because I'm trying to recycle cardboard, which is all very well and good and great if you've got loads of time and an assistant to do that for you, but I haven't. Because I didn't have enough tape, because I didn't have a knife that was sharp enough to cut the cardboard, because I didn't have set up a place in my studio to cut the cardboard properly. It was a case of, it was a case of just set up a system. And once I set up a system for cutting the cardboard to the right size, then it started to get easier and I whizzed through them. So the first two paintings took an hour and a half. Yeah. Because the way I do, or the way I have done it in the past, is not to frame things and varnish things until they're sold, because I usually sell like just whenever, and I never released, that's what we're going to talk about, but selling them all at once, that's a lot of work. So I had the framing to do and the fixtures on the back and the waxing on the surface and the packing. So it's been, that's really my week.
Takes a week. I know. Yeah.
And emailing everybody, of course, and arranging shipments. And some lovely things came out of it, which have necessitated studio visits happening, which have necessitated tidying up. So realizing, and we'll, let's talk about it, but just my week has been the aftermath of having put paintings up for sale, and everything else got pushed off to the side until I've got this under control.
It happens.
So that leads us perfectly onto this week's topic. And this is why we thought it'd be such a good topic to talk about. And we called it launching a series of paintings, but that all sounds very, I don't know, grand compared to what I think we actually did.
Yeah.
So it's just this idea of, in the past, from speaking for myself, I've always, as I just said, sold paint, made a painting, stuck it on the website, somebody bought it or didn't. And so selling a painting, the aftermath of it was maybe an hour or 2 hours of framing, wrapping. And but in this case, we thought we'd talk about selling more than one painting at once. And so there are many artists now on Instagram, particularly, this is a thing that you launch your new collection, that you build up to the launch and then you launch a collection. And so that's going to be what we're going to talk about this week, or rather our approach to that idea of launching a collection. Now, it's not your first time, is it, Alice, of releasing a series of paintings all at once?
Well, it started somewhat differently for me, because in the past, I have always been working on a group of work to have new work ready for a physical in-person event, art fair, open studio, something like that, just because I liked, you know, that deadline gets me getting things finished. So although you're feeling it's bad, now imagine that you're also getting ready to take all your work out and ship it and doing wall labels and get ready for an in-person. That's normally how it is, or how it has been for me. So, and it just started very gradually, in that I had all this work ready for an event, but I know that there are people on my mailing list who couldn't always be there. So I thought it would be, it's a nice opportunity to give them first access before you go off to the event. So I'm normally doing it all on the back of that, which is a huge amount of extra work. And what I did in the past was so that I didn't have to load everything up into the shop section of my website with everything as a product. What I've done in the past when I've done that is just include the images in an email and invited people to email me back if they want them. So that's how it started. And that was easier. And that was great. And it was also really nice to go into an event having sold one or two, because you get a little boost, you feel good. You know, actually, if you want to, you can hang one on the wall for the first evening with a red dot on it.
Yeah, I definitely do that, definitely.
Yeah, so it's a, that was a really nice thing to do. More recently, that was a little bit of a struggle, because like you say, when you sell paintings like that via message me, email me, if you've got question about it. You're also getting everything ready for the show, and you're also then dealing with the emails. So when I've done it recently, and I suppose I'm talking about just more than a year ago, I have put paintings into the shop on the website too, which is a whole bunch of extra time if you're then going to want to be selling them at the event. So there's always this balance of slightly where is your priority, but I just feel if people are on your mailing list, your subscribers should really get that first access first. Mm. So that's the balance for it. And then I'll talk in a little bit about how I did Open Studios last year and how you actually take the event totally out of it and do it online. But yeah, that's my kind of history to it about why there has been a, in inverted commas, launch of a collection. It's because it sprung out of a real life thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I just saw everybody doing it and thought, oh, maybe I should try that. And it happened that I was working really on a series of paintings that all came together at once. Yep. And as I looked around and counted them up, there were 16, and I was having this new website built. And I thought maybe this would be an interesting experiment to just mm-hmm. try. Okay, they have a name as a series, so let me present them all together and see what happens. And I really would, I think I would do that from now on.
Yeah.
I think I just, like everything, you've got to learn the lessons though. Yeah. So I would do it again, this time being more prepared about thinking about what time of year I'm doing it and have I got 2 weeks afterwards to just comfortably do everything I have to do. And it does make you realize when you do something like this, why galleries get paid what they get paid, because there's not just the marketing on the front end, there's all the stuff on the back end as well. And it is a lot of work.
It is.
So for me, it was my first time, and I've observed lots of people doing it. And I've recommended this to my group when they're thinking about selling paintings. Just watch what other people do. Watch what people who are successful do. And then you don't have to copy what they do, though. Just say, I like that, but I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try this. And my thought about it was, I'm not comfortable. I just didn't feel comfortable for some reason with a full onslaught of a series of emails and some videos and some live chats and a live open studio. I just thought it felt exhausting, partly because of everything else I have going on.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what would really feel good, which is something you've taught me to ask, what would feel good to do? Well, it would feel good. I would enjoy setting them up on the website with a really special webpage that introduces them.
Because it's a reason, because you're excited about your new website. You've got a really lovely new home for everything to go. You've got these paintings. It just ties together. It fits together really well, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the other part of it that I really wanted to experiment with, because I'd been doing it anyway, was approaching it from a storytelling perspective rather than putting a lot of effort into the photographs and the web page. I mean, the web page looked nice. And I had a photograph of each painting and a photograph of each painting in situ, but that was it. Mm-hmm. But I really focused on, because I've done a lot of videos on YouTube and Instagram about these paintings over the last few months, I've kind of told a story about them.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I can tie all that story together and tell people, you've been watching this and now here's what it turned into and here's what it means to me. So the story was in two parts, really. It was creating a story when you landed on the web page to understand what the paintings were about. And then it was when you clicked on a painting, each painting had its own little story that explained what it was, which my web designer really didn't want me to do, by the way. And which I
really, why?
She felt like once you've clicked through, you want the painting. You don't want to read. And I agree, you don't want to read an essay. But I wanted there to be three or four lines or a short paragraph that gave you that specific painting story.
Yeah, I think it's important. And I also think later on, if you're sharing URLs independently, so if you're sharing that image onto Pinterest later on, the person is not necessarily going to land back through your kind of collection open door page. They're going to come straight into that. I think it's nice to have something about each individual painting.
Yeah. And the only other thing I did was on that homepage. So what I did, it was a private launch to my newsletter subscribers and my members in Art Tribe, and no one else could get in. There was a password and it was a private view, and the password took you to a private view page that said, you know, welcome, I wish I could give you some wine, but we can't do that. So have a look around. But on that page, I put a video. And the video was the most low-tech video. It was literally me sitting here at this table talking about the paintings. I thought about doing something fancy. I thought about filming the countryside
then I'll be in the position that Alice is in, where that's what she wants to do. And she's got all those video slips ready, but she hasn't done it yet.
So I'll just skip that wanting to do it bit and just decide I don't want to do it.
I'll just do the it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be fancy, let's get it done approach. Be like Louise, not like.
But it did work. I think that works when you really care about what you're talking about and when you have a story to tell again. So I had an idea. I was explaining the idea and I was explaining what the connection is between me and the person who buys the painting. I wanted to make that connection for people that once you buy this painting, we're connected. And so that was my approach. And it went really well. You know, it went really well. And so I didn't end up having, I had a plan B, which was if it doesn't go so well, then I can do the extra stuff. Then I can put it on social media and all of that. But I didn't need to. Which I do think is partly the fact, to be perfectly frank with everybody, that I haven't had any artwork up for sale really for quite a year, anything new apart from a series of pieces on paper. Nothing new because I saved all the Ted Hughes paintings. So there's partly that if you wanted to own something of mine, there hasn't been anything to buy. That really helps.
Yeah.
But I also do think that that approach was by far the most successful thing I've done in terms of sales. And that's why I thought it was worth telling everyone about. I have consistently put my work on social media, put it on a website, told people about it. And like I say, most things have sold over time, but not like this. This was a concerted selling period. It was really successful.
Yeah. And I think there are a few things in there. Firstly, this whole idea of storytelling. It's like when people, you know, they worry, what am I on social media for? Like most of the time, that is there what you're doing. Essentially, you are built, you know, you're sharing your process, you're building interest, you're telling the story of the work being created. And this is the culmination of it. So, but to have it, you know, wrapped up on that page, I think is a really good idea. Two other things I think that interesting from what you said. One is, I think we've both got to be honest that, you know, you in particular have a really decent sized mailing list now. Mine is smaller than yours, I think. I think yours is also quite targeted, quite heavily weighted towards other artists. People often have this big worry when they start about, but other artists are joining my mailing list, not buyers. How do I get by? Folks, other artists are buyers. Do not, like, because art is important to them, you know,
and because they understand what you've done.
Yeah.
They get it. They understand the value. They understand that that's a good composition. They understand that that's creative use of materials. Yeah. So, yeah, they really are good buyers.
So when you're at the beginning, I always say, don't worry about, you know, let people join your mailing list. If they're joining because they're interested in something, if they become uninterested, they're going to take themselves off it again. It really doesn't matter. But I think it is important to be realistic about, you know, it helps if you've got a bigger mailing list. There's something I want to talk about right at the end about this as well. But at the beginning, when I first started doing this, didn't have a huge mailing list. No. And so I think the point about learning as you do it, you don't have to have a big mailing list in order to do this. Go through this process, give it a go. In time, your mailing list will grow, the results will grow, you'll learn about it, you'll do things, you're going to do things differently next time, I'm going to do things differently this time. That's the reality of it. question for you. Does it feel, or did it feel more nerve-wracking doing it like this? Because you're kind of going fanfare, da-da-da, here they are, rather than just quietly sneaking them on the website and hoping no one will notice.
Yes, it's definitely. Yeah. And especially combine that with the fact I've said, okay, invite, come and see. Mm. So if you came on the next day, say after I sent it out, and there were no red dots.
Yeah.
Like I've got that in the back of my mind, then mm-hmm. will I look daft? And also we're going to do this and we're going to, people watch us and listen to us. And I might have to come on and say, nobody bought anything. And I thought about it after our conversation last week, and I got myself into that mindset of just, which I think I genuinely felt, I really think these are good paintings. And if they don't sell, I'll hang them up around my house and I'll wait till they do sell because I really love them. And yeah. and I try to just, you know, feel like, and the fact that other people are watching, yes, there is always this little voice in the back of your head saying, will I look like a Wally? But
can I just say, is Wally another one of those words? I did an Instagram story yesterday about buying cake at a cafe and a friend saying, should we share a piece of cake? And I was like, the least we deserve is a sodding piece of cake each, you know. And yeah. I've had loads of messages from Americans saying, well, oh, what's a sodding cake? You know, do I need to go and look for a recipe? I'm like, no, it's swearing. So do we need to explain what a Wally is? I don't know.
Wally is a fool. Okay. So, yeah, we've talked about this before, though. I know you have this too. You have this feeling like, oh, people are watching. But I kind of now see it as I'm perfectly confident in what I'm doing. I also perfectly confident it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I'm all right with that now. I used to want everyone to love me. And now I've got less of that. So I'll tell you one funny thing, though. I sold three instantly, and then nothing happened for about an hour and a half. And I thought, oh, I wonder if that was it. And I began checking like every five minutes.
Right.
Another one sold. And then I took Riley out for a walk, and I went out. As I was walking, I thought, I've gone into like, what's the opposite of abundance mindset? Like scarcity.
Scarcity. Yeah.
I've gone into scarcity mode, and I'm checking, why has nobody bought anything? So I thought, no. On this walk, I'm going to just talk to myself. So I said in the middle of a field, I am perfectly open to selling all my paintings. I welcome many, many sales. We got to the bottom of the field and I thought, I'll just see if that's worked.
I'll just check
if that's worked. And there was sale. Four sales came in after I said that. Now, I'm sure that's a coincidence, but it felt like, oh, wow, look, the universe is telling me that if I just believe in this. And so after that, I didn't look again till the next day. And by the next day, they were mostly sold.
But it's fun to play those games. And I think the whole thing, and often like what we talk about here, and I've had so many lovely, I'm sure you have too, messages this week about why people enjoy it. Because I was like, well, I don't know why we've got to a million. And everyone's like, because you talk about like the real stuff the way it is. This is the point. It's like this mindset stuff doesn't necessarily go away. But I just think you have to find a way to live with it, to make it a little bit fun. I've talked before about my either or, finding a good alternative for every solution. But playing those kind of games with your mind monkeys and whatever it is, it's like it's the only way through this. And after last week where I felt I'd had a, you know, I was a bit whingy, and I did exactly the same. I kind of thought, well, why does it not feel right? Actually, at the beginning of the year, I had set myself a launch target in inverted commas for this, which I've been back and checked, and I've more than doubled it since the start of the year by this
and
day.
You were feeling grumpy.
I was feeling grumpy. But I was thinking after we recorded last week, I was thinking, why does this not feel quite like, what would make it feel? And I was like, just one more middle-sized one would be great. Next day, one more middle-sized one. And then I thought, well, what would be really lovely now would be if I sold one of the big ones. What happened the next day?
Sold the big ones.
Yesterday, when I was busy working, sold another middle. So now, like, larger proportion of all of them are gone. And now I'm just like, that changes everything. It can be the tiniest, it can be a really small little switch. But I think, you know, we were talking last week about expectations, and at the beginning of the year, I obviously had expectations, which I kind of wrote down in numbers. And I'd, even though I'd beaten that, it still felt not quite right, but it was just playing with this. Well, what would make it feel better? And yeah, I did probably an extra Instagram post about it. And I said, this one sold and this one hasn't yet. And then it did, you know, so it's all of these little extra things, but it's, it is still tricky. Right. Should we do something?
Just wanted to mention about the difference between our two launches, because that brings up a good point, which is yours were all kinds of sizes and prices.
Yeah.
Mine in this instance were all small.
Yeah.
And so when you're launching a series where there's a variety of prices and there's big items, it's not surprising that people go off for a week to think about it, discuss it with their spouse, try and find a space in the house, fight with themselves over, am I going to spend that much money? Whereas when it's a small piece, they were, I'm not saying they were cheap, but it's more affordable and it's easier to buy on impulse. So that's the difference, I think, in the two launches. So you've got to be aware of that if you're launching, that the easier it is. So you had some small ones which all went instantly, because that, again, that's an easy impulse purchase.
And I think it is also helpful to let people know a little bit what's coming. And I think people often, we kind of feel like, oh, I'm selling it, I'm doing a big build up. You're not selling it and doing it a big build up. You're letting people know so that they can be prepared if they're interested. Like, everybody else is going to make their own mind up if they're interested or not. There are people on my mailing list who are like, I'm not interested in a little painting. And there were other people who were like, well, last time I missed out, so I know I need to be there at 5 o'clock when the email comes out, that kind of thing. So it's actually helpful to let people know, to say, you know, this is going to be a mix of work. There are going to be big pieces, there are going to be small pieces, or this is going to be a collection. This is all work on paper. You know, it's all going to be between this price point and this. Let people know.
Yeah.
So that they can do a little bit of that thinking beforehand. I think.
And I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I mentioned it once in my newsletter beforehand.
Yeah.
That it was coming the following week.
Yeah.
I didn't do enough prep. So I know some people missed out. Some people said, oh, I missed that. You know, I didn't see it in time.
Yeah.
And so that's one of my lessons learned. It's a very good point, is to let people know in advance.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, when you get the messages back from people who say, oh, wow, I can't believe I bought this painting, I can't believe how lucky I am, that, you know, it's good to tell people.
Yeah. It is. I mean, when I was doing the notes for this, I thought about, you know, launching a collection, and it comes together at the point when the work comes together. And I probably don't do enough planning for this in advance, because I think it would be better to let people. I think I sent out an email 2 days beforehand and said it will be coming out on Saturday, and then had this crazy panic doing all the images and was up till God knows what trying to do it. So should have given myself a little bit more time for that. But I think if you do have a little bit of a run up to it, you make life easier for yourself, but also for everybody else. So, okay. So run ups, we could probably do a little bit better with.
Yeah.
We've spoken about how you share. I mean, it happens naturally anyway on social media, but just making it a little bit clearer. So put it in your Instagram bio, new work coming on the 10th of May or whenever. Let people know. You know, you could do an Instagram story with a countdown timer if you wanted to, all of that kind of stuff. So on the actual thing itself, you had a video on a password protected page on your website.
Yeah.
When I did Open Studios last June, and this was, you know, towards the beginning, and it was the first virtually event, I did a whole kind of sequence of events over the weekend, because I was trying to replicate the Open Studios event. So we had a private view Zoom group meeting. So it was an open Zoom call. So you can do 40 minutes for free for that. Or you have to pay if you want to go for longer with that. That was quite fun. I thought people would drop in and drop out, but people just came and stayed and chatted. So I needed to have, you know, stuff to talk about for that. And I did have a rather complicated setup where I had a webcam on a separate thing to show people around, which is a little bit more technical, can't really go into that here. And then I had a different event on the Saturday and the Sunday to show people the work, and the recordings of those were all put on a page on a website, as well as having the work available. But that's quite a big end of it. You don't have to go that far for certain.
No, I do want to emphasize this thing about newsletters and mailings, because not having done any of that, the newsletter was the key. And you're right that I have a big mailing list, and so do you. But there's two aspects to that. One, we worked on building that up over time by doing a lot of things to build it up, and anyone can do that. We didn't, you know, we weren't born with it. We didn't be gifted with these people on our mailing list. And two, we've communicated regularly with them through, call it a newsletter, call it a bulletin, call it just an email. It doesn't matter what you call it. But that connection is why I sold those paintings. I know from the emails I got back, yep. The fact that people had followed, because in my newsletter, I shared the progress on those paintings, not every week. And not in any kind of organized, planned way. It's just that I would say, oh, I'm struggling with this, or I love this, look at this effect I got. And that would be part of my newsletter. And I got numerous emails saying, I can't believe I own one because I followed the progress.
Yeah.
And that is something I really want to emphasize to everybody, that you can do. You can share this with people. And it doesn't matter if you share a load of things and then that doesn't go anywhere. And you don't have a series to share, that's fine. But when it does go somewhere, you will have ready-made buyers waiting because they've become committed.
Invested,
thank you.
Yeah.
It's like watching a TV show and now they're invested. Yeah. So I really think that is key.
And I think this is one of the magic things about art that people often overlook. And in some ways, art isn't an easy sale because it's optional. Because yes, it does solve a problem for people. Of course it does. But it's not like I need to go and buy a new dishwasher powder, or, you know, my jeans have got a hole in, or, you know, anything like that. It's got to be, it's a want, like people buy art because they want it. But one of the really magical things about it that I think we don't recognize enough is there is one painting in the entire world that is like that. And if you see one you love and you get it, it's fucking magic.
Yes.
You know, because when a painting grabs you, you don't just love it like for 10 minutes and then grow out of it. You love it and you have it and you've got it for the rest of your life. And when you've seen it and then you own it and it's yours, it's a really, really special thing. And I think, that's what's happened about all the art that I've bought in the past. And, you know, I know from emails that I get back from people sometimes years later, when they buy a second one, and they say, I bought one from you 6 years ago and I still absolutely love it. And I wake up looking at it every morning, blah, 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 blah. So yeah. There is just this magic about there being one thing. And in some ways, yes, it makes it harder to sell because you can't sell multiples and blah, 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 blah. But there it is, this one special thing. And that's a real strong advantage of what we do as artists. So don't be scared of that.
Yes, and I think that's a really good point, that of making even more about that, because what other art form is there? If they buy a book, you buy lots of there's loads of copies of that book. There's loads of people. There's infinite recordings of a song. This is the only art form that I can think of where that's it.
Maybe that's all the email needs to say. This is it.
This is the one. Grab it
just
now.
Before we move on from what to put on your website or pages, or I think, you know, having things like in situ images is a real big help, because It helps people, it helps bridge that gap between just the image cropped on a page and how they might imagine it in their home. Please don't oversize them and make it look bigger than it is, you know.
Yes.
That's just going to be disappointing for somebody. So if you can do that, definitely do that. And there are a number of ways of doing it. But also the other thing that I would say is, if you're doing something like this and you're having a special page on your website for it, you might have a wish list of things that you want to put on that page, and they might include in situ images, include, like I said, I wanted to do a video. I still haven't done it yet. Nobody else knows what you planned to put on that page. So if it's not 100% complete and you've had a day, doesn't matter. You can add those kind of things in later. So it's not over when you've done a launch of it on the launch date. And then, like, if it didn't sell, it's all over. You keep working on this. Like, you can keep sharing it. You can keep talking about it. You can feature a painting on your homepage, change it every 2 weeks, all of that kind of stuff. So just keep going at it. Don't think, like, here it is, there's a launch, it's done, it's flopped, if you don't sell everything all in one go.
So at the beginning of this episode, I mentioned my packing struggles. Do you have now a system? Is it straightforward for you?
You do get a little bit into the rhythm of it. I have not found, there isn't a perfect system. This time I had a little bit more of a system because with these small ones, they were all the same size. So I did actually, for these, look around and find some boxes that fitted. So I felt all fancy pants with my boxes. And the only issue is there were 10 paintings and I had to order 50 boxes. So
I have to make a lot more small ones.
But honestly, there's so much goes into those small ones. And I thought this is a bit stupid to order all of those, but I'll use them for something else. And then I actually looked at them, and even if I only used 10 boxes, the cost of those compared to the amount of time it would take me to fabricate all of those boxes for that size painting. Yeah. It's just a no-brainer. It just, you know, it was so much better to buy them. So those were all nicely done in tissue and boxes. And then they had an extra protective layer and like little cards hidden inside. And then the boxes kind of closed and the little cardboard tabs slid into the side.
Oh, lovely.
That felt really, really good fun. But other than you, I'm the same. I usually save cardboard and remodel it. This time I did buy some bigger sheets of cardboard, and for two of them that went off, I created boxes from big flat sheets of cardboard. And yeah, that was nice to do. It felt easier. It felt a little bit quicker, and it was a really nice fit for the box. And I am now more organized with packing materials, but everything until now, all I've done is kept stuff. So I keep stuff that comes from my framers. I keep the edge protection that comes when I order wood panels, and I just reuse all of that.
Yeah. I was reusing, and I was, like I say, I got into a better system, but I spent, after a frustrating morning doing the first few paintings, I spent a while online looking for, just buying cardboard is a problem at the moment, just like wood, it's not available. So I did find some cardboard, couldn't find boxes that would suit what I wanted. I tried, like, if I could just buy a box that just folded over, and that would be heaven, but I can't find them. Maybe we need to start a box company for packing materials for artists.
Well, there are some things that are good. So you can buy picture boxes from removal companies, but what I find is that the shortest edge tends to be too short.
Yeah, I couldn't find any that were. Yeah. They're all oblong shaped.
Yes.
And yeah, very expensive.
Like, very expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I looked at pizza boxes, and I actually found some pizza boxes. They wouldn't have closed over the bubble wrap, but I would have been able to tape them, but they were out of stock. After I finally found 16-inch pizza boxes, they were out of stock. So I gave up and carried on struggling.
I think,
but everything was packaged nicely inside. But it feels a shame that you can't send someone a nice box to open, like when you get a fancy dress and you get you open it. Well, not that I've ever had one, but I've seen it on the films, and there's tissue inside. So mine have all lovely tissue and a card and everything, but it's got to be buried in these handmade packaging, which is annoying.
I don't mind the handmade packaging on the outside, apart from the time that it takes. But yeah, you never really think that all of those maths lessons when you're doing nets are going to come in quite so handy as when you're trying to fabricate a box out of a box that's a different size.
Everybody, I think Alice's boxes are better than mine. There's no maths for me. There's a lot of brown wrapping tape and a lot of bubble wrap, but I will say, everybody, before you shout at me, it's all bubble wrap that I've got reused from other things.
Yeah, but yeah, corners and edges. Get your corners and edges done. I think if you're clever and if you're happy to do it this way and it suits what you want to do, what you could consider would be reverse engineering it. And by that, I mean, find a suitable packaging box first and then work backwards a bit and see if it's going to fit your materials. Because there have been a couple of times where I've thought, yes, I've got this painting. Here it is. It's going to go into that box. No, it is literally 4 centimeters too big.
And yeah,
it just won't fit. And that's a little bit annoying. So I think for some things it's possibly worth looking what exists in terms of packaging, and then if you think about it before you've even started the work. As you can tell, I'm not that organized. I've never done that. But I think you make a good point about kit. So what has been useful kit for you? I have a very large size A1 cutting mat. Have you got one of them?
I haven't, but when I was struggling, my neighbour friend said, why don't you just take a big piece of hardboard from the garage, which we have, and use that as a cutting board and put it on your big table? Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. That made things easier. So I haven't got a formal cutting board, but yeah, I've got a piece of wood that I'm using.
That's good. It will blunt your knife a little bit, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, it did blunt my knife, and my blunt knife was another problem. So he said, why don't you change the blade? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So a new blade, yeah.
A sharp blade, something to cut on.
Good long ruler, good long metal edge ruler.
I was using a big trowel, but yeah, something to
a big trowel
to down the side of. It's a really long trowel, so yeah, a ruler would have been even better, but all I had was a trowel. What else? And then, yeah, all the spare bubble wrap turned out to be a godsend, because once I realised that instead of wrapping the painting round and round and round in bubble wrap, which I did put some around it, I could just roll it up into a roll and put it all the way around the edges of something that has cardboard on one side and the other. So a square of cardboard on top and bottom, solid hard cardboard, and then a rolled up bubble wrap around the edge, and then taped in with brown packing tape. Now, how much I've spent on brown packing tape, I've got no idea, because that's the thing I had to buy. Everything else was just things I have stored. But that makes a really nice, like, you could bounce these paintings around now and they wouldn't get damaged. The driver could fling them onto somebody's doorstep and it still wouldn't get damaged. It would bounce.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got the foam edges, and they're really solid. Building in some cushioning space is important. Give it a little bit of extra space. The other thing that I put on my table is I have an old towel. So I have the cutting mat at one end and I have an old towel laid over the table at the other end so that I can put it face down, so that when I'm doing labels on the back or anything like that, that the frame doesn't get marked or damaged at all. Just having everything together in a basket, having sellotape on one of those weighted tear off things is good. Our blade on that at the moment is blunt, which is a nightmare.
Oh, that's so funny. Right. I bought this.
Oh, I hate those. She's got one of those handheld tapey roller things. Do you like that?
Well, I haven't worked out how you're supposed to get the tape into it, so I can't use it. It's just sitting here. So eventually I'll just take that packing tape off there and use it, because I can't work out what to do with it.
I can never get them to cut. I've got one of those and it never does the cutting part of it. So I just end up with a roll of tape.
How do you thread sticky tape through a thing? I can't understand what I'm supposed to do.
I wonder if you've got it. Have you got the sticky side down towards the handle?
Well, it just came. I've got it the way it came. Yes, it is. Okay. The sticky side is down, but this is how it came. Should I? Anyway, let's
we can
talk
work
about
that out. Yes,
moving along. One thing that did feel really nice to me, and I know you did this too, is as part of my web design, part of the package that I bought from my designer was for her to also design me some cards, which I just, she designed them made for the company I wanted to use. So they were the right size. So I was using printed.com that you mentioned last week. And she designed me something that I could just send off. So she designed some thank you cards for me, which are lovely, really simple, but branded with my logo and my colours now. And that was nice. And I bought some stickers inspired by you last week. Very plain, again, branded in my colour. They sent the wrong colour, so that was a shame. But they were nice anyway, so I used them. So everything got wrapped nicely with a sticker, sealing the tissue paper, and a nice card. And that felt like a nice up level from what I've done in the past. Yeah. I've always put a card in, but I usually made them myself. And I don't know, maybe people prefer a handmade card. But I just thought it's nice to have something really good quality that has my web address on the back. You know, just something extra that you get when you open the painting.
But you can build up to that kind of thing. Like you say, you don't have to have that necessarily at the start. And I think at the beginning, if you have any cards printed, make sure they're a little bit multi-purpose, multifunctional, so that you can use them for different things. So I've had a card that has had a blank space on it that you can use for all sorts of things to write, just write little notes. And I've also done handmade in the past. Lots of different options.
And I think not having to spend lots of money on pre-printed cards is a good point, but definitely always do your best to make it nice for people to open. And we've talked about this before, that I didn't do that at the beginning. I made sure it was safe. I made sure it was well packaged and it wouldn't get damaged, but I didn't put a lot of thought into what is it like to open it. And I spoke about this on the podcast. When I bought some paintings, I noticed how I felt differently depending on how they came to me. It really does make a difference. It kind of tells me that the person doesn't care about their artwork very much.
Yeah.
If they haven't. And that might, I know that's not true, but that's the subliminal message you get if when you receive it, it's not nice to open. Yes. So again, it's not like I'm not claiming to be perfect, because for many years I didn't do this, but now I'm just trying to be better about it. I think the other thing that I think is really important as an after, so after the sale comes in on Squarespace, which, oh, do I love Squarespace's e-commerce. It's amazing. It's like even your accounting is done for you in the back end. But it sends out people an invoice. Sends out people an email and an invoice without me having to do anything. But I think taking a moment to write to people afterwards and with a personal email, just saying, I'm so pleased that you chose that painting, and something about what that painting means to you, and letting them know. So in my case, I had to let people know, right, I have to frame them and package them. So I'll be doing that this week and it'll go out next week, unless you really need it for something. If you need it sooner, please let me know, because I can, you know, I can make it happen. But if you're okay with me shipping it at the beginning of next week, that's my plan. Just make it just an extra follow-up connection. And that's when I got the lovely emails back telling me why they chose that painting, or, you know, what it means to them, which was really an extra boost as well.
Yeah, that's a lovely idea. I tend to do that when I'm, as you say, when it's either when it's gone, so that I can give them tracking numbers and that kind of thing. Once it's already left the house. If it makes you feel any better, I was up till 1 o'clock on Wednesday night doing wrapping and packing.
It does a bit. It's nice not to be alone in this.
It would be a lovely thing. That would be top of my list of things to outsource, would be to get somebody else. Even if you had somebody who was working alongside you while you were doing it. And normally I think I might, you know, pay the child, get my daughter to help me or her friend, but she's in the middle of exams at the moment. So I couldn't do that. But it could be easy. It doesn't have to be complicated, like hiring somebody long term.
I did have a thought about this, you know, and I'm going to look into this, and it might work for other people too. There is an artist down the road from me in another village who has a business, which is prints, cups, T-shirts. It's very commercial art. And somebody mentioned to me, oh, yeah, so-and-so works for her 2 days a week, and all she does is packaging. And they have an industrial unit. And then I thought, oh, I wonder if they would do outsourced packaging. Mm. Like, I wonder if they'd be interested in the next time I do this, do they do that for a fee as well? Probably not, but you never know. If they've got the materials and they've got the person and you just pay them a fee.
Your set price per thing for
yeah, rapid packing. I just wondered. Yeah. I mean, I haven't explored it. I haven't asked them, but it just struck me as, there must be people, there must be other companies who have someone constantly packaging who might be interested in doing it for you.
Yeah, because anyway, that's it. That's all you need to do, really. This is the point, isn't it? And this is maybe one of the things that is an advantage of doing things a little bit in a like we're saying, like a launch thing, is that actually for packaging, what you have to do is you have to set up a mini production line at home. And it's like batching anything. If you do it a little bit all together. So my first stage of wrapping everything in tissue and putting them in the box and putting the labels and then remembering, because I had
belongs to who?
Well, exactly, because my brain was actually working that day. I thought, when these are all packed and wrapped, if you're not careful, you're going to forget which one is in which box. So having to write at each stage, you know, which one is in which, so hopefully they've all gone to the right people. That part of it, because that was small, I could do that sitting on the floor one day watching Line of Duty, whereas, you know, the other part has to be done at the table in sequence. So, you know, just doing each part bit by bit. So when it's slightly driving you crazy, I have to say that's what I did this time, is I did, rather than doing it all in one day, I did the first part. Then I came back and did the second part. And I did get to the stage with some of them where I just thought, I'm not, you know, the worst part I hate is filling in all the online couriers.
Oh, I haven't done that yet. That's coming up today, this afternoon.
Enjoy.
And finally, what I would say about this is we both had instances where older paintings sold or something else came out of the launch. So be aware, when you're thinking about time for packing, be aware also that there will be other things that come out of it. So in my case, there's a studio visit this afternoon to look at different paintings than the ones that I was launching, to look at the Ted Hughes paintings. And this is a really loyal collector, so I'm letting her have a sneak peek. But that means some tidying and some sorting and some organizing, which is time I wasn't planning for. So other things will come out of this. You will get email questions. You will get people wanting to come and visit. You'll get people asking about commissions maybe. So it's just being aware, isn't it, of making that extra time.
Yeah, and also if it doesn't happen immediately like that, that, you know, things will happen as a result later. So maybe somebody has seen this work this time, they haven't emailed you, they haven't bought one. As far as you're concerned, nothing's happened. It's a bit of a dead flop. But the next time you talk about something, then that person will pop up, or then it will be the right time for them. So it's just this drip, 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 constant, and not attaching everything to one particular event. But it does feel, it feels good. I quite like it because it feels good. It's a little celebration of the work. And that's why I quite like doing it this way, I think.
Yeah. I think on balance, I think I do too. But I definitely think there are pluses and minuses, and the minuses is all of the after work. So it's really just a case of planning for that, and that came with experience for me, but hopefully with this episode, you won't have to make that mistake and you can be prepared and plan for it. Yeah. Because I do think, because then it clears the decks, doesn't it, as well? I have this feeling now of, okay, my studio's empty again.
Yeah.
And I have room, mental room. It's like decluttering.
It is a bit. It is a bit. And I think that my learning from it this time is, don't leave it so long in between times, because I kind of hadn't realized how much I had on the go, and therefore how much stuff needed to be finished, labeled, named, framed, photographed, wrapped, edited, all of that stuff in order just to get everything ready. So it would be better if it just happened, not quite so many pieces all at once, a little bit more frequently, perhaps. That's my learning from it this time. Don't wait until I've got 28.
Yeah. So moving on from packing and labelling and posting, what has inspired you this week, Alice?
Okay, well, this is a little bit of a strange inspired. It's a slightly cautionary tale. So Sarah Dury, who's in the Connected Artists group, and she is a recognised artist. She recently did a live stream painting on the Tate's Instagram account.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, she's a beautiful artist, fairly, you know, quite frankly, feels like you can't really get much more high profile than that. How impressive is that? But she had a horrible moment this week and she has spoken about it publicly. So I hope she doesn't mind me sharing. She went to post on Instagram and it basically said, your account has been deleted. And she was like, what the hell? What do I do? What do I do? So there was kind of, you know, panic. And as I think lots of us can, you know, your stomach must drop out. But it's very frustrating because Instagram isn't paid. You know, there isn't customer support in the same way that perhaps there should be. But I've seen it enough times now of kind of keep the faith, hold on, keep challenging, keep filling the form in, keep asking. And after, I think it was 4 days, she didn't have any responses. I think she had to do something where she had to send a photograph of herself with a number, a security number or something. Nobody emailed back, but one day her account was just back again. Oh, so, good. Yeah, exactly. So, but what was inspiring about it is this kind of, this, like, when it happens, if that's just you, my goodness, what a panic is that? You know, but the reassurance of everybody else, keep the faith, hang on in there. This is brilliant. But everybody has come out of it going, oh my gosh, it really makes me realize that we mustn't rely on Instagram.
Yeah.
And not, we love all, Instagram.
Not all eggs in one basket.
But not for everything. So this is why I said earlier, you know, we're going to talk about email lists. Just don't forget to still keep building your email list. And yes, it starts slow. Yes, it starts small. Keep it going, and it gets bigger. And then you get to the stage that you've got to pay for it and you wish it was still small. But yeah, so that was that. So phew that's back. But if you feel what would happen to you, that would be my just kind of trying to give you a little bit more inspiration.
And build the email list. And communicate with the email list regularly. There's no point in building it if you don't talk to them.
Just re-inspire your email list love. That's my inspired.
So mine is quite a quick one, but last night I got a phone call from my best friend and I've talked about him before. He's a writer. I recommended his play on the BBC and about a year and a half ago, he committed more to his writing and started to work less full time. He works 4 days a week now and writes more. And that brought about the BBC play. Now he has a book deal. He has a 2-book deal for his first novel.
Wow.
And he won a contest with the novel. The prize was to get an agent to meet with you. The agent liked his novel and has shopped it around. And a couple of weeks ago, he had a thrilling email from a publisher who said, I just love it to bits. And I think it's like Richard Osman's Murder Club, which is a number one bestseller in Britain. And we want to publish it. And, you know, anyway, now the deal's been done and his book's been acquired. And I'm just so, so proud of him. And to anyone who feels like, oh, this is never going to happen for me or I'm too old, he's 58. And he's been writing since I've known him when we were 19, and he's been writing before that. And this is his first, you know, he's had success with his plays, but plays come and go. Theatre, you know, they're gone once they're done. This is his first real big break. And I'm just thrilled and proud and also inspired because it makes you realise, just keep going. If you've got faith in yourself, someone else will have faith in you too. So I'm going to let everybody know when it comes out. I'm going to be pushing it like mad, and I'm going to be pushing him now, which you won't want to do, to start thinking about how are you going to start marketing it and telling the story now,
yeah,
before it comes out. How are you going to start building an audience? Because he will think that the publisher is going to do that, and I want him to do it as well.
So what's the book? What genre is it?
It's just like, well, not just like The Murder Club, because he wrote it before that came out, but it's a, I would say, cozy murder mystery. So he's a big Miss Marple fan, and this is called, I'll butcher the title.
It's all right, save the title then.
It's about a group of elderly ladies who meet every Thursday morning for coffee in a garden centre and somehow become embroiled in solving a murder.
Okay.
And it'll be funny because he's very funny, and it'll be comforting, and it'll be interesting. So I only read a very early draft, so I'm dying now to be, I've told him I don't want to read it now. I'll wait till I can get the published book and read it. But yeah, it's funny. It's going to be good, everybody. So make a note. I shall tell you when it's available to buy.
It's that lovely thing, isn't it, of taking an idea that's an intangible dream, and then it ending up being a thing that you can hold in your hands that's really been created in the world.
Yeah,
love it.
So if you want to see what we did to sell our paintings, you can go to Alice's website, alicesheridan.com. You can get to her paintings from the homepage or in her shop. You can also have a look at mine. Now, you can see mine by just going to my website and going to the shop, but you can see the page I set up for the private view. It's still there. So if you go to louisefletcherart.com/private-view, you will be able to have a look at what I did if you want to get some ideas and probably think of some better ways that you could do it. That's it for us this week. We've loved chatting as always, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Oh, I'm in charge. Okay. I'm in charge. You ready?
Ready.
Hi. Oh, I better find out what episode it is. Good start.